Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday the 28th of November. You're joining with us today as we get into week two of Finding Hope Under Bethlehem Skies. I hope you've been listening along either on the podcast or the blog each day to our studies in the Book of Ruth, and we're trying to explore the whole idea of Advent and the coming of Jesus Christ through the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. And that's what we're going to be doing today. Do remember, you can come and join with us each Sunday at 11 a.m. Plenty of room in the church and also in the overflow in the hall. You don't have to register to come along. And we'd be delighted if you were able to come and join us in person. But as we come today, today we're going to be thinking about the inheritance that God has in store for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And that inheritance is the same inheritance that was promised to Abraham. And it's the hope that we have under Bethlehem skies, as it were. Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So let's come to God in prayer and let's ask his blessing on this time together. Lord God, we thank you today for our inheritance in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for that inheritance, the forgiveness of our sins, the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, our counsellor and guide, and the great promise of eternal life. And therefore, Heavenly Father, we come to worship you today and we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon your word to us and upon this time together. Lord, we ask that even though we are separated by space and time today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would dwell in us and unite us together in Jesus, that as we worship you, Lord, we would know that you are the one true living God. So, Lord, we ask for your continued blessings to be upon us. We pray, Lord, for us as a congregation that we might be your witnesses. And, Lord, we pray that we might honour you in all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, then, we're going to read from Ruth chapter 2. Last week we read Ruth 1, this week 2. We're moving through week by week, although our message today is going to be taking an overview of the whole book of Ruth. So if you haven't already read through the book, I do encourage you to do that. But Ruth chapter 2, reading from verse 1, and this is Ruth meeting Boaz. "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'The Lord bless you,' they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, 'Whose young woman is that?' And the foreman replied, 'She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsman redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. And we pray God's blessing on the reading of his word today. Sometimes with the story of Ruth, it is a little bit difficult to work out the seriousness of what's going on, because to us, it appears to be a beautiful love story. There's a child that's born and everyone ends up living happily ever after. And because that is the way we usually understand it, sometimes we can miss what the story is really all about. And we might not even notice how the story applies to our lives, because rarely do things work out nicely and neatly for us as they do in this story. Today then, I want us to start off with the prodigal son, another story that we know so well and a story that Jesus told, and see how much of this story links with the story of Ruth. So Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 to 24. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate it. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Amen. Today, we're going to ask ourselves, am I living where God wants me to be? The prodigal son was living in a distant country. He was far away from his father's house where he should have been. Naomi was living in Moab, a foreign country, far away from the blessing of God that was in Bethlehem. But what about us? Are we living in Bethlehem or Moab? Are we living in the promised land or the wilderness? Are we living with the sheep or with the goats? Are we living in freedom or in slavery? Are we heading towards heaven or towards hell? There is a straightforward choice to be made. And even if we think that we're putting off that choice to a later date and we haven't yet decided, that means that we've already made a choice. And we need to ask ourselves clearly today, am I living where God wants me to be? Am I in Bethlehem or in Moab? What we find in this story is that Elimelech starts off by disobeying God. And then everything else starts to fall apart around that decision of disobedience. Elimelech and Naomi are living in Israel at the time of the judges. Now, the previous book of the Bible tells us about the exploits of the judges, and the recurring assessment of Israel throughout the book is found in the verse before the start of Ruth, the last verse of Judges. And in that verse, we read, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." Now God realizes that there is widespread disobedience in Israel, and in an attempt to bring the people back to obedience and trust in him, he sends a famine to Israel. Now, why does he send the famine? Well, he wants to get the people's attention. He wants them to realise how bad things are, and therefore they will turn back to him and they will repent of their sin. But Elimelech has got a better idea. You see, he hears that there is food in Moab, and he decides to leave Bethlehem and to travel all the way round to Moab. He makes a decision and he takes his family and he's basically saying, let's go to Moab where we know there's food and let's wait until God's blessing comes back to Bethlehem and then we'll return. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, let's translate it into something that perhaps we can identify with a little bit better. There's a child. That child disobeys their parents. And the parents are concerned and they want the child to realise the seriousness of what they've done. They decide upon a punishment. They're going to ground the child. The child isn't allowed to go out in the evenings for the next week. Instead, they are going to be kept in. And the idea is that the child will think about their disobedience during the evenings whenever they're at home and they're not allowed to go out with their friends. and the child in thinking about their disobedience in this time will realise what they've done wrong. They will say sorry to their parents and they'll realise that they should have obeyed, and therefore that will sort out their behaviour for the future. But imagine for a moment that the child decides to sneak out one of the evenings. They have been told that they're not allowed to go out, so they go to their room, but they climb out the window while no one's looking. They meet up with their friends and they have a great evening. In doing that, they're totally avoiding the punishment. And in avoiding the punishment, then they're not learning any of the lessons that their parents hope they will learn. And this is what Elimelech and Naomi were doing. They had, as it were, sneaked out of Bethlehem during the famine. They'd gone to Moab, where there was lots of food. They had settled there and they had avoided learning the lessons that Israel was learning during the time of famine. God had failed to get their attention. And it's only after Elimelech dies and then the two boys also die that God has Naomi's full attention. Now, we often said back at the start of the COVID pandemic that God was trying to get the attention of people, that he was wanting people to repent and to turn back to him. And in the early weeks, many did give God more attention. And perhaps we even gave God more attention at that time as well. But then, very quickly, as restrictions eased, people forgot about God again. We need to make sure that we never run away from God's discipline. What we learn from Naomi and Elimelech is that it is never good to be far away from God. No matter how bad and unpleasant God's discipline is in us, it would be even worse to be away from that discipline. The famine in Bethlehem, it was severe. But it was much worse to be living in Moab with food than to be in Bethlehem with no food. Bethlehem means house of bread, and the family left the house of bread to travel to Moab looking for bread. They went there looking for life, and all they ended up with was death. Now, Moab is not a good place to be. And the places we end up whenever we turn from God are as well never good places to be. The lives we live when we reject God are never lives that will prosper. Maybe for a short time they will, but eventually they are empty and bankrupt. Israel had been warned in Deuteronomy never to be at peace with Moab. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them as long as you live. And yet Elimelech chose to go to Moab and, as it were, enter into a treaty of friendship to settle there, to take the food that was on offer there. He chose to do that and he chose to take his family there. It's like saying, whatever you do, don't go to the park at night because there are many dodgy characters there. You don't know what will happen to you. Stay well clear of the park at night. And then once your back's turned, the first place they go to is the park at night. When God tells us not to do something, Satan tempts us to do it. You don't go to Moab to find God's blessing. Only terrible things will happen in Moab. And yet Elimelech takes his family there. And then the boys marry Moabite girls, which again is in disobedience. If you're not allowed a treaty of friendship, you certainly can't marry one of the Moabites. And therefore the problem gets even worse. And then we get another stage where it gets worse again, because the men die and the problems get worse. And you can see how one wrong decision begins to spiral out of control in this story. Even the very origin of Moab should have been enough to be a warning. It should have been saying, don't go there under any circumstances. Remember whenever Lot and his family fled the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? They ran away from one sexual sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they ran straight into another sexual sin. Lot's wife didn't make it. Remember, she turned back and was turned into a pillar of salt. But Lot and his two daughters fled to the hills. And the daughters decided that they needed descendants because there were no men around. So they hatched a plan where they got their father drunk on two occasions and they slept with him. The eldest daughter, because of that union, gave birth to Moab, and the other daughter gave birth to Ammon. And these two boys were the descendants of these two nations, and these two nations were the enemies of Israel. Two places you would never leave Israel to go to were Ammon and Moab. You would never find blessing from God in either of those two places. So we have to decide today where we're going to live. Are we going to live in Bethlehem or Moab? In the Old Testament, the inheritance from God is the land. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they were going to the promised land. This was their inheritance. And it seems like madness to leave that promised land and to go to Moab, a place of evil. The land was important. That's why Boaz and the other kinsman go through the process of buying Elimelech's land before they even begin to speak about marrying Ruth. The land is God's gift to the people. In the New Testament, and therefore today also, our inheritance is no longer the land, but it is Jesus Christ. When we put our hope in God, we receive the inheritance of Jesus. Jesus inherits our sin, and we inherit forgiveness of our sins. Jesus inherits death, and we inherit eternal life. We inherit the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we have to ask ourselves, am I living where God wants me to be? Are we going to live in Bethlehem or live in Moab? Are we going to live with Jesus or in the world? Are we going to enter through the narrow gate or the wide gate? We're told in Matthew 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. We need to ask ourselves today, am I a prodigal living far away from the blessing of my father's household? Am I a widow all alone in a foreign land? Am I living where God wants me to be? Today is the day to begin that journey back to the Saviour and to receive our inheritance in Jesus Christ, to trust in him and to accept his forgiveness. So let's bow before him now in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we thank you that you have called us to dwell with you, to dwell in Bethlehem, as it were. Lord, so often we're attracted away to Moab and to other places, and we confess that before you today and ask, Lord, for your forgiveness. Lord, draw us back to yourself today. May we come in obedience, Lord, and may we be ready to honor you with our lives. For Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Do remember you can come on Sunday at 11 and join us in person, and you'll be made very, very welcome.